I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Edna Riley. She is an independent insurance broker, and she is here to talk to us about health insurance. And yes, it's that time of year. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Woohoo! Health insurance, yay!
Health insurance. Well, you know, it's going through so many changes, and everybody is, like, not really sure what's going on and when you can buy it and when you can't. It turns out you can't just go buy health insurance any time of the year that you want to. There's
certain periods
you can and can't. What is that all about?
Well, they sort of modeled this new system, and to me it's still new because this is the first time we're doing any sort of renewal portion of the process. They modeled it a little bit on the Medicare system so that basically there's an open enrollment that's going to happen at the end of every year, and that's the point at which anybody can buy any insurance that they want. If you're unhappy with what you have, and I'm talking about individuals, not businesses, but if you have an individual policy and you decide, I don't really like this, I want to change, you know, from Blue Cross Blue Shield to Presbyterian or the reverse, open enrollment is the time that you can do that.
So when is open enrollment?
This year for the federal, well, it's for both the federal and the state exchange. They run on the same schedule. It's November 15th through February 15th.
So that's coming right up.
Yep, very quickly.
And so there are people who don't have health insurance right now. There are people who don't like the health insurance that they do have. And there are people that are on plans that are expiring.
Correct. Well, there are people on plans that are being terminated.
Right. Okay.
Being canceled. And that's a little bit different. All of the Presbyterian plans and the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans that were pre-metallic, meaning they were purchased prior to January 1st, 2014.
Pre-metallic. That is like such an insider's term.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's just an easy way to talk about it. Basically, it's a plan that's non-compliant with the Affordable Care Act.
And metallic means that when you go to like healthcare.gov or any of these things, that you see gold, silver, and bronze plans.
Right.
Which are the metals.
That's how all the plans are now standardized by the Affordable Care Act, gold, silver, or bronze. So if you purchased a plan prior to 2014 and it wasn't a gold, silver, or bronze plan, then probably you're being canceled. And you're being canceled by January 1st. Well, the technical date is December 31st. So you need to purchase a new plan, which will be a metallic plan, by December 15th in order for it to be effective January 1st. So you don't have a lapse in coverage.
So those plans are accessible at healthcare.gov. Is there a state exchange? I mean, basically, some of the states have functional exchanges, some don't. What's going on in New Mexico?
In New Mexico, when we started this process last year, it was said that our state exchange would be handling everything as of this year. However, that did not happen. This year, businesses still go through the state exchange if they want to. However, individuals will need to either go directly to the carrier or through healthcare.gov instead of going through the state exchange.
So when you go to healthcare.gov, you punch in your name and age and whether you smoke or not and how big your family is and all those kinds of things. And unlike the past that is still in vivid memory for many of us, you do not have to punch in what diseases you've had, what treatments you've had, and all of that, because the pre-existing condition thing is now thankfully gone.
That's one of the benefits of the Affordable Care Act, is that there are no medical questions. It doesn't matter, what illnesses you had 5 years ago, what illnesses you're currently having. That's one of the reasons for the open enrollment period, is to make that more effective. But it's kind of wonderful. I have my first client that has AIDS. I've been in this business over 10 years and I've never been able to help anybody who had AIDS, and now I can. So.
Because now they actually qualify for health insurance.
They can buy whatever they want.
Yeah. And for those who talk about how terrible the Affordable Care Act is and how we should repeal Obamacare and all of that, all I can say in response to that is, shouldn't people who need health care get health care?
Exactly. Well, I think an important distinction needs to be made. I'm a little wary to call what I do health care, because it's not health care, it's health insurance. And the Affordable Care Act did a lot of wonderful things, like get rid of the medical conditions. You know, basically during open enrollment, you can apply for anything and you can't be denied. It got rid of lifetime maximums so that once you have a policy, if something horrendous happens, you don't have to worry about, oh, it's going to run out. There are a lot of really good things in the Affordable Care Act. Is it perfect? By no means. But is it an improvement to the health insurance prior to it? I believe it is.
Well, it massively is. And the big problem with it is if you have a serious condition and you need treatment, by the time you get done with the premiums, even if you have a subsidized premium and the deductibles and the copay, you're still out a lot of cash.
Yeah, most of us are paying about $6,000.
Yeah.
Bottom line is that you pretty much have to pay the first $6,000 or so dollars for any of your medical care. You know, within varying degrees, I'm not talking about just going to the doctor. That depends on your plan. But anything big, like going into the hospital or needing an operation, you're pretty much going to be paying up front, which seems very onerous until you realize that your hospital bill is $100,000. And
right.
Then you're very happy to only pay six.
Right. Which a lot of people don't have, and that's another
right.
question. And I'm sure that there will be
that's
sooner
why
rather than later reporting on how people are dealing with those $6,000 medical bills.
Right.
But it's not like a lot of people are going to be losing their house
exactly.
over that.
You're not going to go bankrupt. As long as you have health insurance, even if you get the bronze plan, which has no benefits, you still have that protection. So it is worth something. It is, in my opinion, also overpriced, but that's one thing the Affordable Care Act and what this process hasn't addressed yet is the cost of medical care, which really is kind of the driving force of health insurance prices. You know, everybody has to remember, too, that there's a portion of that law that says that these insurance carriers are only allowed to keep 20% to pay for administration costs. 80% is still going directly to medical care. That's what the law says. And there are some health insurance carriers that have had to repay money to consumers because they didn't meet that 20%. They went over.
Right.
It's not Blue Cross Blue Shield or Presbyterian, though. It's some of the larger carriers outside of New Mexico that have had to do that.
Very interesting. We're talking to Edna Riley about health insurance. Now, let's talk for a moment about this gold, silver, bronze business. I mean, it sounds like the Olympics or Plato's Republic or something, but what is it? What do those medals signify?
It's just a simpler way to think about benefits. Although, when you're really shopping around, you can't just use that because there's a lot of variance within the metallic levels. But basically, bronze level is going to be the least expensive with the least amount of benefits. And gold or platinum level is going to be the most expensive in terms of premium, but with the highest benefits.
Silver or gold?
Well, there's actually also platinum level.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, but it's not widely available in New
Mexico. I never even saw that on the site.
I believe in 2015 there may be two available.
Okay.
I'd have to check that once everything's finally approved. But there's not a lot of platinum plans available in New Mexico.
And what, when you get, I mean, you pay a higher price for each level that you go up, what increased benefit do you get?
Typically, you get a lower out-of-pocket maximum and a lower deductible. You may also get better prescription coverage. You know, instead of paying $25 for a prescription copay, you get $0 or something like that.
Right.
To me, because it's health insurance, not health care, I always look at the maximum out-of-pocket as being the most important number.
Yeah.
Because that's the amount of cash that if something terrible happens, you're going to have to come up with as a consumer. The rest of it's kind of all gravy to me. Silver seems to be perfectly wonderful for most people in terms of benefit, as long as you get the right silver plan, because many of the silver plans, not all, you have to be careful when you look at them, but many of them have the doctor visit copays and the prescription copays that are the most commonly used benefits. Gold would be for somebody who had a chronic illness and knows they're going to end up going to the doctor 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a year.
Right.
Because they have diabetes or some neurological something or other. then it ends up being more cost effective to pay the premium up front. It becomes a payment plan instead of health insurance.
Yeah.
But for everybody else, a silver plan is fine. And even if you have a bronze plan, you're protected if you end up in the hospital. And that's kind of the point.
Now, there are subsidies for all of these plans. So if you are making the minimum wage, let's say your employer doesn't cover health insurance for whatever reason, or you're freelance, which is what a lot of people are, they're contractors of one kind or another, and you go to healthcare.gov and you say, my annual income is $28,000 a year, let's mm-hmm. say, and I've got a family of two, you might qualify.
Yeah, you might qualify for a subsidy. And the subsidy structure within the Affordable Care Act is actually fairly generous. It really helps people out in that income bracket. If you qualify, you really can get some serious help paying for a decent health insurance plan that you might not have been able to access before.
And that's something you can do by yourself, or somebody can call a broker like you who can sort of walk through it with them.
Right. If you go to the exchange website, there's a list of I don't know what exactly what the term is, certified, I guess. They've done the training and are qualified to work with the exchange products. There's a listing there of local people in Santa Fe. And also just, you know, ask your friends, who do you work with? Are you happy? I definitely say, and this is, of course, a little biased, but having a broker is really helpful, because when you go on healthcare.gov, you put in all your personal information, you find out about your subsidy, you find that out automatically at the time that you're applying. Then you get to the page that lists all the health plans, and there were 49 health plans last year. You have to be able to look at that and understand what they mean and pick the correct one. And that's the part of the process that can be a little bit difficult.
And I went through this all. It's like, oh, I can do it by myself. And I went through it, and I picked a different one than what I meant to pick. And I had to call the people and cancel it and get the right one. And it was all down to the last minute. And I felt like a dummy. And I was like, wow, I should have done this with the broker sitting next to me going, no, you dummy.
Yeah, it's like learning a different language. Unfortunately, there's some aspects, you know, between computers and health insurance, we have to know four or five different languages to live in
modern society. Yes.
And this, unfortunately, but it's really important. And it's, you know, the other thing, too, is working with a broker is free. Licensed brokers don't accept fees. They get paid by the carrier, depending on what they're working on.
Right.
So having an agent of record is free to the consumer, and I feel like it's very beneficial. Why not take advantage of that knowledge and learn how to read what it is that you're buying? It's like working with a real estate broker or a mortgage banker. You want to be able to know what that legal document says.
So despite the fact that the New Mexico exchange is not yet open for individuals, individuals can go to healthcare.gov. They can see if they qualify for a subsidy.
But not yet, because we're in a process right now of waiting in the health insurance industry in New Mexico, because most of the available products have not been approved by the regulators yet. Blue Cross Blue Shield came out Thursday saying that their small group products have not been approved yet. So everything seems to be hung up on either the federal or the state level, waiting to be approved by the regulators, who are the ones who kind of give it the good seal of approval, saying it's a qualified health plan. None of the information yet is available, which I know is really irritating for the people who already got cancellation notices and who are interested in figuring out what they're going to have. You know, my perspective on that is, why didn't they wait till June to do it, when, you know, outside of this open enrollment period?
Right.
But they didn't. So we're waiting right now, and there was some movement this morning on the exchange at the state level. Now, let me just also say, you don't have to go directly to healthcare.gov to begin with. Last year, one of the great things our state exchange did, and that's at bewellnm.com.
bewellnm.com.
Mm-hmm. It developed a tool that individuals could use to look at the plans and look at the premiums before they go to healthcare.gov and do their research prior to going through the whole enrollment period. That, of course, is not available yet, because the system's not full of all the data. But hopefully it's coming very soon. Hopefully it's coming before November 15th. And people will be able to know what they're buying prior, and then you can just go on to healthcare.gov or wherever you're going and purchase it. So that when you get to that list of 49 plans, you're just looking for the one that you want.
Okay, so it is now the beginning of November, and people have 2 weeks to mull all this stuff over.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting November 15th and going through February 15th?
If you're not losing coverage by January, you have until February 15th. So if you bought a plan in 2014 or last fall, this time last year, you have until February 15th to change. If you, it's always the 15th of the month. So if you purchase a plan on February 15th, it will be effective on March 1st.
Okay.
You always need to have that 2 week lag for them to get all the paperwork done. But for everybody who got a cancellation notice from Blue Cross Blue Shield or from Presbyterian, you should look at purchasing by December 15th in order to have coverage effective January 1st.
Okay.
If you don't do that, you might have a lapse in coverage.
Now, we've been talking about individuals. What about businesses?
Businesses still have the same options they had last year, which is you can go through the shop and have your...
The shop?
The shop is the portion of the exchange that's for the businesses.
Okay. And that's also at BeWellNM.com?
You can access it through there, yes.
Okay.
You can also access it through a broker. Or you can still go to the carriers to access it. You could buy any health insurance plan directly from a carrier as long as you meet the qualifications as an employer.
Right. And the only reason you wouldn't do that, but you would instead go through one of the websites, is if you're trying to qualify for a subsidy.
As a business, you would be qualifying for a tax deduction, not
right.
a subsidy.
Right. Yeah. For an individual, it's a subsidy. For a business...
Right. It's a tax deduction.
Okay.
And it's... in my experience, most of the smaller businesses in Santa Fe haven't really benefited too much from that tax structure, just because they don't seem to be large enough. But it could just be my circle of influence is not as large as some of the others. I think it's worth looking into. And also, businesses should contact their accountants, because those, of course, are the tax advisors who can tell them, oh, yes, you qualify for this, or no, you don't.
So tax accountants have had to become health insurance specialists to some extent.
Yeah, and health insurance agents have to become income specialists who would also... You know, my first question is, what's your income? Because I always want to find out if they're eligible for a subsidy first.
Right.
That depends on which path you take into the system.
Boy, we don't make things easy for ourselves here in the United States of America, do we?
No. Well, and people say, oh, we should all be on Medicare. And it's like, well, you take a good look at the Medicare system. It's not that easy either. Getting into it is fairly easy once you qualify, but understanding it's not so easy.
And, I mean, we've had physicians for single-payer health care on the program talking about how single-payer is eventually inevitable. I mean, it's the way that we're going to have to go if we want to actually have an efficient and cost-effective health care system.
Well, and looking at it from a human rights standpoint, I agree. I mean, there's no way around it that, you know, health care is a right, not a privilege.
Yeah.
So. But for now, this is the system we have. You know, they did the best they could. There was a lot of screaming and shouting to get this into place. And it works. You just have to paddle a little harder.
Edna Riley is an independent insurance broker. She can be reached at 505-989-8772. You can also write to her at edna@benefitsnm.com.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. My pleasure.